Welcome to Osteopathy Unplugged. I'm Steve Paulus Dio.
And I'm Bonnie Gintis Dio. We're American osteopathic physicians, and we're a married couple devoted to the practice and the study of osteopathic medicine. We developed Osteopathy Unplugged out of our passion for osteopathy and the recognition that our profession needs a more intimate conversation about who we are and what we do.
Join us as we sit in conversation, talking about the inner and outer workings of osteopathy.
Welcome to episode 31, Treating the Osteopath, Caring for the Caregiver, Part 1. In today's episode, we're embarking on a new direction for Osteopathy Unplugged. We'll be discussing the care of the osteopath. How we care for ourselves, or how we ignore our well-being, influences the way we care for others. How can we encourage and teach our patients to care for themselves if we don't do that for ourselves? Instructing a patient to do something for themselves, if we've only read or thought about it for ourselves, is nowhere near as powerfully effective than if we speak from our own experience. The whole arena of self-care is vast, but what we're going to hone in this episode is specifically the osteopathic care of the osteopath. As an osteopath, do we get treated osteopathically? If you're an experienced osteopath, especially if you're involved in teaching, here's a companion question to ponder. How do we model self-care to the young osteopaths that we teach? For our non-osteopathic listeners who do some other kind of hands-on care of other people, I'm sure that everything I'm going to say is going to apply to you and your specific professional approach. In this episode, we take a dive into exploring the possibilities of why and how, as osteopaths, we might want to seriously consider choosing to be cared for by one of our colleagues. We're going to be generally speaking about self-care, but the osteopathic concerns we'll be raising here are more specific than those of the broad category of self-care. What we're discussing today is about embodied learning. It's about community. It's about having an experience of your own that you want to share with those you care for. And there's only one way to do it, one-on-one, in person, on a somewhat regular basis. No Zoom, no Skype or FaceTime, no conference calls. There's no app for learning hands-on osteopathy. There's none of the, I'll watch the recording later. Call me old-fashioned, because that's what I am when it comes to this topic. This is a good old-fashioned analog experience. There's nothing modern or digital about it. What we propose is in-person and time-intensive. Stay with us as we share our personal experiences being treated with the work we cherish and respect, and share with you what we've learned. And I might remind you, we're still learning. Okay, Steve, I'm done with my introduction. You want to start?
Sure. When I was in osteopathic school, I asked all of my teachers if they got treated with osteopathic manipulation. They all answered yes, every single one of them. I then asked how often a hands-on DO, or what then we like to call a 10-fingered osteopath, should be treated. They all answered differently, but each implied regularly. A few, and I can't remember exactly who, said that an osteopath should be treated at least once a month. Bon, what do you remember?
Well, I don't remember anything about asking this question as specifically as you did. But in retrospect, my teachers and fellow students were always finding time to treat each other. I think I saw it all the time, so I didn't even think to ask the question.
Well, really, that's modeling.
Yeah, absolutely.
Without coming outright and saying, this is what you should do as a student.
Right.
They demonstrated it and showed this is how you could take care of yourself.
Right. I assumed that I'd become part of a profession that valued this form of contact, connection, and experiential learning. And I did. One of my earliest teachers, I actually met this teacher of mine before I was in osteopathic school. Her name was Mary Elizabeth Hitchcock. She graduated from the Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine sometime in the 1930s. She was married to a DO, and her husband died young. And after her husband died, all of the doctors who worked at the osteopathic hospital, which was then based in Manhattan on 61st Street between Park and Madison, it was called Leroy Hospital, named after someone who had donated money to them long ago. She was invited to come join the staff of the hospital and treat all of the inpatients in that hospital osteopathically.
I love this.
So when you checked in, the intern did their traditional history and physical exam, and Dr. Hitchcock would stop by to do an osteopathic evaluation.
As it should be.
Yeah. So I worked there from 1976 to 79 while I was an undergraduate in college, and she befriended me. I befriended her, and we would go around sometimes. She would say, hey, I'm going upstairs to see patients. Want to come with me?
Right, but you were the billing clerk. You ran the billing department at the hospital.
I ran the outpatient billing department, so if somebody came for an x-ray or a lab test, I billed their insurance. And on the weekends, I ran the admitting office. So if there was an emergency patient admitted over the weekend, and these were all DOs who admitted patients to the hospital, I got to follow her around and see what she did with patients. So I just kind of assumed this was how everyone was cared for osteopathically. There were a lot of questions I didn't ask because I just saw it happening. And then I was shocked years later to find out that not everybody is treated this way.
Wouldn't you like to have a time machine right now?
Oh, my God.
And with what you know now, go back and then follow Dr. Hitchcock around.
It would be incredible.
Everything you tell me about her, she obviously was an amazing human being and an incredible osteopath.
She was. She taught a class when I was a first-year student. You could only attend her class if you were under 5'4". So, the episode you've been listening to just faded out because you are not yet a subscriber to Osteopathy Unplugged. Please visit patreon.com/osteopathyunplugged and become a subscriber in order to have full access to the rest of this episode as well as the complete collection.
We have created a set of foundational episodes that will be available for free for everyone. These teachings provide an introduction to osteopathic clinical philosophy. However, the full versions of all episodes are only available through Patreon. Access Patreon through their app or through a browser page. Thank you for listening to Osteopathy Unplugged.
And thank you for your interest in the osteopathic experience.
Until next time, be well, listen deeply, and stay curious.